Welcome to the Bike Talk with Dave podcast. I'm your host, Dave Mabel. Thanks for tuning in. Today we're talking with Kelsey and Cole Ledbetter, the two founders of the Iowa Gravel Project and the Redfield Rock and Roll Gravel Race. Also, this winter it was announced that these two are taking over two long-standing gravel races, the Iowa Gravel Classic and the Spotted Horse Ultra. I was curious what led to this development and what personal touches they had planned for these events. But I also wondered what led them to the Iowa Gravel Project and how it all got started. And that's where we begin with Kelsey and Cole Ledbetter. Kelsey and Cole Ledbetter, welcome to the Bike Talk with Dave podcast. Cole, we've been talking about getting you on for a long time, but I'm glad we waited because we've got something exciting to talk about. But you just also have a ton of stories too. You've been around the gravel world for a long time, so I'm excited to have you two on. Kelsey, I want to introduce you guys individually. We'll start with Kelsey. Kelsey, a voice in my ear, host of the Gravel Knits podcast, biker, rag briar, and race director. Welcome to Bike Talk with Dave, Kelsey.
Thanks, Dave.
Absolutely. And Cole Ledbetter. Cole, you've been a gravel cyclist for a long time, and again, race director, and I believe you both, I don't know the full history, we'll dive into that, but I'm going to give you both credit for the Iowa Gravel Project. Kelsey, will you take some credit for that?
I'll take some credit, but it's mostly him.
All right, fair enough. But Cole, welcome to Bike Talk with Dave.
How's it going, Dave?
It's going awesome. Good to see you both. Well, thanks for joining me here on a Tuesday night. This is going to be a rare podcast because this is going to drop tomorrow morning, so I got my homework ahead of me when we hop off this thing. But this will be a nice, fresh, almost live Bike Talk with Dave, which is kind of fun and rare. So I want to start with Cole, because I believe Cole was the kind of the foray of your relationship into the world of gravel. Is that a fair statement? Kelsey, you're nodding your head there. So yeah.
Oh, yeah. We both definitely have gravel history that goes deep, many well past the two of us. But as far as the existence of how gravel is in a relationship, he was the starter. Yeah.
Dig it. Well, let me start with that, Kelsey, because you said your gravel history goes back before the two of you were together. What was your history with cycling and then gravel?
I grew up on a gravel road. From the time I could ride a bike, it was down a gravel road. I could ride to the end of the gravel, and I couldn't go any farther. So I got used to riding on the gravel road.
How far was that?
Oh, maybe half a mile down to the end of the street. But, you know, as a kid, that's a long ways.
It is a long ways. I actually grew up on a gravel road as well. And, like, I mean, we didn't ride gravel for the sake of gravel. We rode gravel to get off the gravel, so that we could get to town, get to the mall, or get to
anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah. Safeway for candy bars or Laffy Taffy. Like, that's, I would go to Safeway. I would ride my bike to Safeway for Laffy Taffy, or we'd ride to the arcade. But anyway, I grew up on a gravel road too, and all we could think about was getting off of the gravel. Cole, what about you? What's your bike history?
Actually, very similar. I grew up about an eighth mile from a gravel road, but I was on a highway. Ooh. And so I wasn't allowed to cross the highway until I was about 10 years old. But then after that, I could go anywhere I wanted pretty much and had hundreds of acres across the street to wander around. But I could always, even when I was younger, ride down the shoulder and go down to the gravel road. And then my parents didn't care where I rode my bike. pretty much from the time I could ride, I was always on my bike. My parents didn't ground me. They grounded me from my bike. And that was the worst thing they could do to me, is get me away from my bike. So that was how they punished me. But we lived about a mile and a half, maybe close to 2 miles from school. And so I rode my bike every day to school too, all through winter, and well, a large portion of winter at least. So I was riding a lot from a kid. So that was kind of my thing. When I got back from California, I started back into cycling about 2011 or so. I randomly picked up a mountain bike at Play It Again Sports. Oh. Just saw a used mountain bike and was like, a couple hundred dollars up. I used to like riding. Let's grab one and see, you know. And then immediately started looking up, like, where are there any mountain bike trails even around Des Moines? Because I'm like, it's Iowa. Do we really have those? And so then I discovered that. And then it wasn't long after that. That was a really heavy old Trek mountain bike that was well past its usage. But it was the start. And then I kind of, if I'm going to be doing this all the time, I might as well get something good. So I went and bought a real nice new mountain bike and then started riding quite a bit. And then got into one race where I raced the Dirty Do here in town. Raced that once. And then after that, got more into Ragbri and was in Ragbri for a bit, but then hated the road riding and the skinny tires, really. So then I kept hearing stuff about gravel, and that would have been about 2014 or so, 15. And so then I got another bike and started riding gravel. And then it's always funny because I come back to the first race I did and you see a picture of me in very much not cyclist clothes on a mountain bike, ducked down, looking like I'm trying to go as fast as possible. And then you have the A division coming behind because it was a circuit race, of course. But you have the A division right behind me in the picture, just flying by me. But I'm all looking like I'm serious. They're just about to fly by me. It's That's always awesome. A great picture to remember.
Yep. That's funny. When you say that, I think, and this is a total sidebar, but that's what I'm known for. So I'll sidebar. I have a picture of my youngest kid at a high school track meet. He was running, it might have been the 2 mile. I'm sure it was the 2 mile. And he was about to get lapped. And I've got a picture of him coming up towards the finish line with like two of the fastest guys in the state coming up behind him. But he's definitely leading, coming across the finish line. I love it. And I actually have a picture of myself leading the single speed national championships in when they were in Tacoma, Washington. I might have been getting lapped. I'll never say. But Jake Wells is behind me. That's all I'm saying right there. So I appreciate that. Where'd you guys grow up? Back to your gravel road upbringing, what part of the world were you in when you grew up on gravel roads?
Let's see.
I was just between Ames and Gilbert.
Oh, okay. Iowa. So locally here.
Yep.
How about you, Cole?
Redfield.
Dig it. Hence the Redfield rock and roll. I wondered what your connection there was. So that makes sense. All right. Iowa grown gravel riders. I love it. So, Cole, you can't make too much fun of Ragbri because you guys have a bit of a history on Ragbri. Kelsey, what happened on Ragbri, and what was the what was the town? It started with A.
Alden.
So Alden, thank you. What happened in Alden on Ragbri?
Best town by a dam. Well, we got married on Ragbri.
That's awesome. Tell me about that.
Well, there is a wonderful bike race ride, whether you want it to be a race or a ride, called the Sterile Iowan. Mm-hmm. That is held every year out of Alden there in town, just outside of town, is wonderful gravel roads. And we decided that was a beautiful place to get married. And it just so happened that Rag Rye was going to be going through town there. It was going to be the end of the first ever gravel day of Rag Rye. And why not a better place to get married?
Wow, that's like everything coming together, isn't it?
Exactly.
Huh. That's cool. Were you guys going to get married anyway? Or you're like, there's that gravel ride on Rag Rye. It ends in Alden. Let's just get married.
It kind of all just fell together, really.
Yes.
Yeah, it just kind of all fell together. We were riding in the car one day, and I don't know who exactly brought it up, but we kind of looked at each other, and I know I said, I was like, this is dumb. Like, where are we procrastinating? Like, we're eventually going to get married. We might as well just get married. And then all of a sudden, Rag Rye came up, and then it just happened to be the first ever alternate gravel route. And so it's like, well, that's a automatic. And then we had actually become pretty good friends with Dieter Drake, the ride director for Rag Rye, mm-hmm. at that time. And so Dieter was definitely instrumental in just making things happen too. When I messaged him and told him that, because I was already going to be making appearances across the gravel day, and we had all the volunteers in Iowa Gravel Project shirts and stuff. But then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm going to get married that day as well. And Dieter just rolled with it. He's like, okay, well, where do you want to get married? He's like, do you want to do it out on the gravel, or do you want to do it in town, or what do you want to do? And I sent him a picture of the little cute, I don't even know what you call it.
It's a gazebo thing.
Yeah, a little gazebo, but just a really cute little white gazebo right next to the river. And I was like, here? And he's like, okay, give me 10 minutes. I'm actually on the phone with the mayor of the town already. So give me 10 minutes. And then a few minutes later, he messaged me back. He's like, okay, they'll have everything prepped for you. You'll be good to go. It's like, okay. He's like, anything else, just let me know. He's like, we will try our best to make it happen. And pretty much my one other request was, well, after I get married, honestly, I'd like to have a beer with my friends. So if we can make that happen. And he's like, don't worry, I gotcha. And so then the Iowa Craft beer tent was 75 feet away from where we stood to get married. So it all literally just fell into place perfectly.
Rag Rye is so many cool things happen. There's so many family histories, people histories that happen on Rag Rye. And that's a great, I love that story. That's Rag Rye magic, which it's not why we're here talking today, but I love that. I think that's super cool. We are talking about bike races, and I feel like it goes all the way back to the Iowa Gravel Project. What is the Iowa Gravel Project? And I mean, how in the heck is it? I don't know if it's big or not, but it appears big. Everywhere you go, you see Iowa Gravel Project shirts, jerseys, hats, signs, whatever. Tell me the story of the Iowa Gravel Project.
So the Iowa Gravel Project, I actually started it in late 2017. Would have been going into winter, and I was kind of in honestly not the greatest mental space at the time, and was literally sitting alone in my house just staring at the wall with nothing going on. And I was just like, I have to do something. Like, this is stupid. I can't keep doing this. Like, I have to get myself out of this funk. I need a project. I need something. And I also At the same time, I wanted to get more involved with gravel because I was already involved with it, but I wanted to be more involved with it. And so also on top of that, I had noticed that at the time it felt like there was a bit of a disconnect in the state, because a lot of people from one side of the state didn't know people from the other side of the state. And we're all a small little community. Like, we're one big small community. So there's no reason why those people shouldn't know each other, you know? And so I wanted somewhere that would be a space that wouldn't be like some of the other bicycle groups, that you could ask a simple question and not get jumped on, because why would you ask that? You should know that. Well, I don't know that, because that's why I'm asking this, you know?
Yeah.
And yep. We also had just a wealth of knowledge in this community. Like, just, it's amazing what we have in this community. One person I will call out specifically is Greg Grand George. That man has a wealth of knowledge, and as much as he does get paid because he's a coach to impart that in people, he's also more than happy to, here's an article I wrote, here's a blog I wrote, check this out. And it is amazing the amount of knowledge out of that one person. So if we can connect the whole community together, that's just going to be better for everybody, because you can give somebody a tip in their first 6 months of doing this. You can give them the smallest tip that you don't even really think much of, but it can make the world a difference for them. And so, like, each one of those small little things that people learn that, again, seem insignificant to people that know them and have known them, it just brings everybody up at that point. And so, Iowa gravel, and it was me project for the winter, so... kind of grew from there, and then just exploded.
What do you guys do? What is it?
Basically just promoting gravel around Iowa, and gravel, like Iowa gravel, to other people outside of the state. It's kind of weird. I had this conversation a couple of times that we're actually unfortunate here, because we have so much great gravel, so many great races, that we don't end up having one standout race that blows up like some of the bigger races. At the same time, it's kind of hard not to say that we want to keep it for ourselves, because it is this gem. But at the same time, you want people to know how good our stuff is here, you know, and we have so many races that are just awesome across the state. Again, we almost have too many, because you're... every weekend you have a choice, basically.
Yep, that's an accurate statement. I've often said the same thing, that literally there are listeners around the world that listen to Bike Talk with Dave. I don't know if it's like a bot in Germany that's listening, or an actual human or not. And if you're in Germany, hello. I don't even know. I know how to say goodbye. How do you say hello in German? Hola? No, that's Spanish.
No, it's Spanish.
Oh, no.
I've read a Zane.
I've heard German, too.
Oh, man, bad me. Anyway, hello. Hello? 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 Oh, my gosh. Anyway, sorry, everybody. But I know I'm biased, but I really feel like the gravel revolution started here, and it started with Trans Iowa. And there really, as you just kind of pointed out, there isn't a marquee event. There's a marquee event in Kansas. There's a marquee event in Nebraska. There's a marquee event. I don't know. Where's it? Oklahoma, Texas. Why not Iowa? But you're right, we have a million smaller grassroots community events where a couple hundred people will get together, have a great day, riding gravel, having a beer afterwards, having a pork sandwich afterwards, having pizza afterwards, and then go home or go listen to music or something. So, yeah, kind of two sides of that coin, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I love that you're promoting Iowa gravel, because, again, we've got freaking a million miles of gravel, and it's great gravel and great little communities. And every freaking 10 or 15 miles, there's a little town with a convenience store in it.
Yeah, I mean, we're honestly just absolutely blessed with gravel here, because the majority of the state is set up on almost mile by mile or mile by 2 mile squares and rectangles. You can't barely get lost, you know? And on top of that, yep, like, you see a lot of other states that I'll go to, and their gravel roads, they're so narrow. Like, mm-hmm, ours are meant to get equipment down, like big equipment.
True.
So we have big, wide gravel roads and just very well maintained for the same equipment. So it's, we're fortunate to kind of enjoy that portion of it too, you know. And in all reality, that's kind of the fun thing in the fall time, is to see like the harvest and stuff, you know, and watch that. It's always kind of fun.
Yep, no doubt. What were you going to say, Kelsey?
I was going to say, and we get our fair mix of our smaller, you know, market roads too, that are B roads and low maintenance, and give us those, you know, adventure aspects.
We do have B roads, don't we? I did Trans-Iowa version 2, and I made it 63 of the 300 and some miles. And of those 63 miles, maybe it was 68 miles, 23 or 24 miles were B roads, and I walked 23 or 24 miles out of my 63 miles, because they were on wet, muddy B roads. So when you say B roads, that's where my mind comes. So not a selling point unless it's dry, and then they're like freaking highways. Super fun. All right. Three races. Redfield Rock and Roll is where it all began. And Kelsey, I have to say, I listened to Gravel Knits, and I heard you say putting on a race is so hard. Actually, I should probably talk about that later. But you were talking about putting on the Redfield Rock and Roll. It's kind of where it began for you guys. Where did Redfield Rock and Roll come from? What is it? And what makes it unique?
Oh, goodness. It is hard, but it's very fulfilling in so many ways. It's definitely worth it, the time and the effort and everything. But where do you want to start, Cole?
5th year, is it? We're looking at year number 5 coming up?
Yep. We started in 2020. It was planned well before everything that happened in 2020. I wanted to show off some of the gravel roads that I grew up on, not only riding my bike on, but traveling back and forth all over, you know, as a kid. Because when I came back from California in 2008 and then started riding into gravel, exploring some of the gravel roads and the scenery and stuff around there, it kind of amazed me. I was kind of blind by being surrounded by it when I was a kid. I didn't realize how beautiful some of the areas were, you know, and how diverse the areas can be within a few miles of each other as well. So at that point, I wanted to show them off to my friends. And in all reality, gravel had given me so much at that point already that I wanted to do my part to try and give something back. You know, I remember hearing a few race directors saying that over the years, and it really stuck with me, that was their way to give back to the community. And as Kelsey said, it's difficult, but at the same time, for me personally, the payoff is at the end when I get to hear the stories and see the smiles on my friends' faces. But Redfield, I originally wanted to eventually make it into something big. And like actually have music and everything else going on. And it was kind of funny because year three, we actually had an amazing band, The Sheet, play. And it was an awesome time. But unfortunately, that same day, it was low 50s and raining.
And windy and so cold
Yeah, it was horrendous conditions. I mean, really
bad.
Talk
about walking your bike. A lot of people walk their bike a day.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty. And afterwards, like, I was just running around because we do the race on a very small amount of volunteers generally.
Mostly our families talking about tight knit.
Yeah. So it was crazy because I just ran all over the place, just like crazy, trying to keep everything going because our finish line is actually outside of town. So people aren't racing in on the highways and stuff. Mm. So smart. They finish about a mile outside of town and then have to ride back in. And having the finish line party separate from the actual finish line was difficult because I didn't leave myself enough help.
I can relate to that
on the finish line.
I feel your pain.
I ended up just running around and I never got to enjoy anything. And the music, it was awesome, but it was also kind of loud. So everybody's kind of trying to yell over each other and stuff. We were so incredibly lucky that year because knowing that it was going to rain and it was going to be nasty, we were going to lose people, and we'd already paid for the band and everything. So we were going to lose people pretty badly if we were going to try and hold it anywhere but near where we were ending and everything, or the park and everything in town. And fortunately, Steve Roberts, the owner of the Dexfield Diner, he was out of town for a wedding on that day, and so the diner was shut down. He literally just is like, here's the code to get in. Clean up when you're done. You got your own alcohol, right?
Wow.
And that's the beauty of small towns, you know. And he was a handful of years older than me in school, but I knew him from years ago. So it was kind of cool. I do have to bring up at that point, Steve and his family had a horrible tragedy and their diner burned down.
That was just not a week ago.
Yeah. So they'll be in the process of rebuilding that and raising money and everything just to deal with that whole entire thing. It's just so sad because they've put their heart into that place. Like, there was a lot of love in that.
Yeah, but, and that diner was kind of the lifeblood of that kind of small town square right there.
It was bringing things back in that area. When he moved back and got that started up, he really poured everything into kind of reviving the town a bit, which he was immediately a big supporter of the Redfield Rock and Roll because he's like, wait, there's a bike race in town? Like, who's doing this bike race? And then so I got to meet him, and he immediately is like, well, whatever I can do to help. It's like, well, can we hold check-in here? Yeah, you can have the whole back patio, wherever you need. And so immediately was just jumped on board. Last year, he fed all our racers for just a fraction of a cost. He literally charged us cost for our pizzas that we fed everybody on. So it's very sad to see, but at the same time, it's really been great to see the community all come around him, and everybody is trying to help him out.
He'll be back. Yeah. We know he'll be back.
Yeah. That is one of the things about Iowa and the small town Iowa and the kind of the farm mentality, that even if you live in Des Moines or Cedar Rapids, one of the bigger towns, you still have the kind of the farm mentality where if somebody needs help, you all come together and you help.
We're all in this together.
Yeah. You know,
and in all reality, that's what it is on gravel races too. When you get into a nasty day, Like, that's before that day in 50s and raining, I stood up in front of the racers and I was like, you know what? I was like, just look around. I was like, you all are in this together, so help each other out. If you see somebody on the side of the road, make sure they have what they need, because it's nasty out there. But these are the stories that get told for years to come. Those nice, beautiful days, yeah, they're great. But at the same time, those aren't the stories that get told for years. So absolutely this is your correct. Story.
Yep, you're absolutely correct. So Redfield Rock and Roll, September, you've got 50K, 100K, 200K, and 350K. Do you still have that long one?
Yep.
That's long. Doing all three loops.
350K, 180 plus 30, so 210 miles.
210.
It's ended up about 225 the last 2 years.
225.
16,000 feet of climb or so.
Because our
so it's flat?
Yeah.
Oh, so flat. Our 100K is actually a full 65 miles in honor of one of Cole's good friends who passed away a couple years ago. So there's always that.
The 100K ends up being 65, and I call it the Reynolds 65 for my friend Ryan.
Oh, that's awesome.
He passed away from cancer, and so it's been cool because his family all shows up for the start of the race and everything. We had his cousin lead everybody out on a motocross bike. His Ryan's number from the time he was a little kid was 65. Oh. And so... I made it 65, and I always tell people, it's like, you get to ride a couple extra miles for my buddy.
I love that. That's a great story. It sucks.
Yep.
We don't want to lose a friend to cancer, but what a great way to honor him. I'm sure he smiles every September.
He always got a kick out of my riding.
We all do, Cole. Right, Kelsey?
Oh, yes.
We all do. Okay, so you've been putting that thing on for 5 years. You've got the Iowa Gravel Project going along. And I didn't talk about the Iowa Gravel Project where you, and I love this about it, so I want to bring it up. You host a weekly gravel ride that's open to all comers. And I know you alluded to other group rides that I can say this. Like, I grew up a roadie. I grew up, you know, fully shaved legs. Like, the only thing I carry on my bike was a tube, one tire lever, and a pump until CO2 cartridges were invented. So now it's just a blowy and a tube. And yes, I do have a tube. We've talked about that before. A tire lever. I don't have all kinds of stuff. I've got skinny little tires. I'm a roadie at heart, right? That was my upbringing. I love mountain biking. I love gravel. I love all of that. But I grew up a roadie. So I absolutely know the pretentiousness. I know the intimidation. I've raced for 35 years. And if I went down to, we're going to Austin, Texas in a few weeks. If I joined the Tuesday night group ride there, I would be super intimidated to roll into that group. And I feel like that is not a unique feeling in the world of road. And so how are you going to get new people? How are you going to get newcomers to join this? What's intimidating for a 35-year veteran bike racer, to join into. And I feel like what you guys are doing with the Iowa Gravel Project is exactly that. You're non-intimidating, you're open, you're welcoming, you're encouraging to all comers. So, gosh, there we just nailed your Tuesday night ride, right?
Yeah,
tell me about your ride.
The ride was meant as an extension of the Iowa Gravel Project Facebook group. It's one where before we start each week, I tell people, it's like, you know, like, we have a big group. I don't even know all the people that are here. And so if you end up riding next to somebody, like, introduce yourself. Like, just, we're all good friends in all reality. We just don't know it yet. But, like, introduce yourself, you know, see who that person is. In all reality, you might have had an interaction with them online or something and know who they are, know the name, but you don't actually know that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that always warms my heart in the middle of the ride or at the end of the ride, is hearing that happening behind me, you know. But I wanted it to be a more social ride, not a, as I say, a rip your legs off ride. I try to tell people, you know, basically you want to be at a conversation pace. If you can't have a conversation, you're either in the wrong group or we're going too fast. So I will say our long group does get a little spicy sometimes, but it ends up everybody can kind of hang and everybody wants to go fast, so we go fast. But it's meant as a social ride, and then afterwards we always hang out at somewhere to have drinks or food or everything else, you know. And that's been one of the cool things to see over the last 2 years of it, going into our third season now, is that that social aspect has come out in the ride so much to the point where it's a regular occurrence for people that can't make the ride to make the hangout either before or after the ride. Like, they make sure they come and, you know, they just want to hang out with everybody. And it's like, well, I can't do the ride tonight, but I can make it for that. So it's always, it's so cool to see that happening. And it's forming another community, essentially, you know?
Yeah. And I think one of the things that, again, we have listeners all over, it's a great model anywhere in the, in the world, really, but just to have a get together, several paces, several distances, and all meet up and socialize and have some food and beverage when the ride is over. I think that's a great model for anyone. And you laughed that, like, you know, introduce yourself. We're all friends, you know, from the road. Like, I'll ride with somebody for 2 years and not know their name, but I know what kind of bike. Oh, it's the dude on the red Specialized. Oh yeah, I know who, I know that guy. I know that guy by his bike. I have no idea what his name is. So,
well, yeah, I'll say to the people is, like, you know, oftentimes you do recognize that person next to you, but in all reality, all you've done is breathe really heavy in their same space a few minutes at a time at a race.
Right.
You
right,
know,
right.
And you don't actually know them.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly it. So I love that. I love the social aspect of that.
Well, that's right, too. We have the, you know, we have two groups usually. We have a fast group and a short group. And the short group is by no means supposed to be slow, but it is welcome to, you know, everybody who, hey, I'm just getting out on my gravel bike. Hey, I got a gravel bike. I want to come and see what this thing's all about. And, you know, some nights we break it up into smaller groups, even when on the short group, so that we have a new group or a experienced group or people that help each other along.
It's been amazing how many, like, literally brand new, this is my first time I've ever ridden gravel, people that have come out to the ride. And so it's really cool to see that and, like, hear kind of what I was hoping for when I thought about it actually happening, is people are like, well, I bought this gravel bike, but all my friends just do ragbri and just do road or just do casual rides or just do drinking rides. And I don't really have anybody to go with, so I don't want to go by myself. So I saw this group and I showed up. So it's really cool to hear all the stories of how people heard and stuff, you know?
Yep. Yep. That's awesome. I love that. So that's got to keep you guys busy, not to mention your, like, day jobs. But then I see an announcement this spring that, or maybe it was winter, I would say winter, that a couple of, I don't know about long standing, but kind of long standing gravel races are changing hands, and you guys have taken over the Spotted Horse Ultra and the Iowa Gravel Classic. Kelsey, again, you said in your podcast, putting on one race is hard. What led you to take on two more existing races?
I feel like I can make this comparison to the conversation we were having about dogs earlier. If you have one, what is one more? If you know how to do one, you know how to take care of one, adding one more into the collection isn't really going to be that hard. So what is two more?
Fair enough. So it's not a multiplication factor.
Really isn't. And in reality, we have both been around both Iowa Gravel Classic and Spotted Horse for many years at this point. And it just feels like another extension of our family.
Ooh. That's awesome. Racing. So, what's that?
I've missed racing one of each, exactly.
And I Period? Finally...
Yeah.
I finally I've been had at the every opportunity. Single... Oh, go.
Yeah. Go.
I've been at every single one except for the first Spotted Horse and last year the Iowa Gravel Classic.
Wow. What about you, Kelsey?
I finally raced Spotted Horse when Sarah added the 75 mile. And I unfortunately didn't finish, but I finally raced it this year. but now I'm never going to do it again.
That's a good way to get out of having to do it, actually. I said to Kent Carlson last week at Serum, like, you always look for a way out of Serum, but you're always glad you end up there. But you found a great way out of it.
So that's the number one question you get as a race director. Are you going to race today? Why do you think I can race today?
Right. Exactly. So tell me about each one. Let's start with the Iowa Gravel Classic, which is in July. So I'm going to go in order of that they are within the year. What is the Iowa Gravel Classic and where is it and why should somebody be excited to do it?
So the Iowa Gravel Classic is in a really cool place in Iowa. It is at the White Rock Conservancy, just outside of Coon Rapids. That's about an hour west of Des Moines, so really great driving distance from the metro. It is a beautiful conservation area that has wonderful campsites, so many spaces. They've got disc golf, mountain biking, BMX course, all kinds of things. So that's the location. But it is, so then we put on the Iowa Gravel. We're going to put on the Iowa Gravel Classic that'll have, what was it, the 100K and the 200K?
100K and 100 mile.
Yes, there we go.
Where does it start and finish? Because White Rock Conservancy is, it's White huge. Rock it's 5,000 acres.
Yeah.
It's huge. It starts... So where do you guys start and finish?
It's all based out of the Starfield campground. White Rock is awesome to us. They actually will be reserved just for racers on Friday night, the entire campground. So it's a great time. Honestly, Kelsey and I, we camp out there the entire weekend every year. We go out there on Friday, set up camp, and leave on Monday because it's always on the week of 4th of July.
Oh,
so we perfect. End up leaving on the Monday. So we end up spending the entire weekend there. I would race on Saturday, and then we'd go do mountain biking and everything else on Sunday and just enjoy ourselves out mm-hmm. there. It's kind of a weird thing because it's far enough out away from city and population that even on 4th of July weekend, it's not packed at all. So it's really cool place to go for a race and then spend the entire weekend there.
That's cool. And it's called the Starfield Campground. It's wild that, I don't know, I think it's like an hour 20 from Des Moines. So the largest metropolitan area in the state. I mean, it's still Iowa, but you know what I mean. And it is a designated dark sky, so the stars must be glorious.
Oh, they're so gorgeous. Absolutely breathtaking out there that you can see for days.
Yeah, that's awesome. Iowa Gravel Classic in July. Does it have its own? Do each of these have their own website, or does everyone go to one spot to find information on all of them?
We're working on getting our Iowa Gravel Project site up and going again. We do have Iowa Gravel Classic has its own webpage, and also the Spotted Horse Gravel Ultra has its own webpage, which okay. I'm working on getting updated right now.
Fair enough. So you are having a race in 2024?
Yes. I'm learning how to update websites, so I am not a tech person, and this is, I'm on my first computer I've ever bought at 40 years old right now.
Oh, wow. Boy, there's a story there. All right, so Iowa Gravel Classic, if you Google that, you'll hit the website, and I'll put a link in the show notes for sure. And then the Spotted Horse Ultra, which I think has a cool name. But in the name is the word ultra. What are the distances of the Spotted Horse Ultra? When is it and where is it? That's a lot of questions. I just shot it at you guys. But if you need a reminder, I kind of remember what I asked. So
the Spotted Horse Ultra, it originally started with a 200 miler. Well, then this was started by Sarah Cooper, and then they added on a couple others to end up being relentless events eventually. But it was started out in 2016. Yeah, because I did 17, right. So 16. And it was a 200 miler, but then people, I don't want to say complained, but that's the best word for it. It's like complained that they wanted a distance that they could finish. They didn't feel like they could finish the 200. And so jokingly, Sarah Cooper says, well, I'll add a 150 then, a sprint. And so that was the sprint distance. This year in recent years, there's been added some shorter distances and stuff to make it a little more accessible to people that want to get a little taste of Spotted Horse rather than the whole thing. So this year we will be having around a 35 mile ride for the shortest. That'll be just a fun ride, no timing or anything, but you'll get a taste of what everybody else does. Then the 75 will be your next distance, and then the 150 and the 200. The 150 and 200, I wanted to keep some of the original idea that Sarah had, to where essentially your first 80 to 100 miles is mirrored between the two routes, and then at that point you can choose if you registered for the 150 and you feel you got it in your legs, go for it. Go for the 200. Oh. You know, it's not a big deal. It's, you know, just go for it, because it's encouraging people to get outside of their comfort zone to go further. And hey, if you feel you got it, go for it. So that's kind of a unique thing to this event. I haven't really come across too many events that are like that. But this year, this is the first actual public announcement. It's on Bike Iowa, on our event page and stuff, where it's located. We are changing the location from the previous years. The last handful of years, it's been at the Madison County Winery, which is an awesome place. It's been an absolutely amazing venue. The view is just breathtaking there. But one of the things is that it's on pavement, and it's a pretty speedy highway at that point, and lots of blind curves and everything else. And you start and finish on that pavement. So we're actually moving it only 5 miles. We're actually moving it straight onto gravel to the Big Rack Brew House. Oh, so cool. It's the Big Rack Brewery. When I talked to Aaron, the owner, I was like, hey, you and I have been talking about throwing an event at your place for a couple years now in some form or another. Would you like to do Spotted Horse? And he literally said, F yes.
That's awesome.
So that's awesome. I love more than happy to have us. That way now we'll be starting and finishing on the gravel. Be ready for a finishing hill. I will say that. If it wasn't decided by then, it will be decided at the end.
So I feel like it's fair to tell people that the finish line is at the top of a hill when they come to that 150, 200 mile split and they're thinking, maybe I'll do 200 miles. Oh, wait, I got to get up a hill at the finish line.
Well,
so keep a little bit in the tank, right?
Well, I mean, Spotted's always had an evil finishing hill.
Fair enough, fair enough.
Well, and also, I mean, you have nonstop hills the entire way because that's the area that you're going through for the course, is you just have nonstop Iowa rollers. And Iowa rollers aren't like other states' rollers. Like, you have, I feel like, Gravel Worlds out in Nebraska, they have true rollers. Like, you are, as they say, sailing the seas of gravel, because it is these nice 5 to 6% grades. You'll have a couple, they'll get to 7 to 8, but the area that we go through, you have Iowa rollers, and those are 8 to 12 to 15. So percent grade. So you'll know what I mean when I say that when you hit them.
So we've all heard the term gravel grinder. You will definitely be grinding up the gravel on some of those steep ones.
But that's the thing. It's supposed to be a hard event. That's what it is. And it doesn't matter if you come out and do our fun ride to our longest route. It's going to be difficult. But that's what it's meant to be.
Yep. You guys got to be exhausted at the end of a weekend of that.
Yes.
Fair enough.
At least
I did ask a yes no question. So
we have camping at all of them. So at least at the end of the finish line, we just have to roll into our tent at the end of the night.
So. Camping at the end of both Iowa Gravel Classic at the Starfield Campground, and Spotted Horse is letting people camp there.
We have around 90 acres that we're going to be on, so we have all kinds of room. Aaron, the owner, he's already, I believe he says he has 5 RV sites with electric hookup and everything. Nice. Already, and plenty of tent camping wherever you want to go. So it'll be nice, because then we'll also, like, they'll be open the whole time through the finish lines and everything. So when you get done, there will end up being some food there. There will be some beer if you want, you know. There will be a chair for you somewhere.
Sounds like it might be a spot for music.
Probably so.
Just saying.
There already is music planned. Aaron's already looking at bands.
All right. Awesome. I didn't want to assume that, but I'm glad to hear that. Sounds like an awesome venue. And... it's at a brewery, and like, I love beer. Do you get your own beer at this? Do you get your own, like, is there a Spotted Horse ale in the works?
I haven't talked to him about it yet, but I don't think it would be twisting his arm much.
I think you need to talk to him about that for sure. All right. And what's the date of that?
That is October 19th.
October 19th. So we've got the Iowa Gravel Classic in July, July 4th weekend, Saturday before July 4th. Is that a safe assumption?
Yep. Or no, it's after. It's the 6th.
Yeah, July 6th.
Okay, July 6th. Then Redfield Rock and Roll in September. What's the date of that?
I think it's I have too many dates now. I think it's September 6th.
When you just had one race, Kelsey.
September 7th.
You could. September 7th?
Yeah.
When you just had one race, Kelsey, you
it's
could
like
remember the
date.
It's
like the first weekend
in September. And now you have all these children and you can't remember their names.
Well, that's why it's left us with no children. So these are our children.
Fair enough. Fair enough. These are your children for sure. Or your dogs, as we talked about earlier. And then. Spotted Horse Ultra is
October 19th.
Awesome. I'll put links in the show notes and spread the news, and hopefully people can get signed up and come enjoy some beautiful Iowa gravel roads and, you know, hop into the Iowa Gravel Project and give Cole somebody to talk to instead of a wall that you were staring at when you came up with the Iowa Gravel Project. I feel like it was a project to entertain Cole.
It's a fair
Pretty
assumption.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you guys, thanks tons for being on. Iowa Gravel Project, Redfield Rock and Roll, the Iowa Gravel Classic. And I think it's awesome that you guys are continuing these great Iowa races. And
they were both races that meant a lot to us, so we didn't want to see them go anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think they meant a lot to just you. I know that, you know, I'm in the Bike Iowa gang, and people talk about those two races. And in addition, the Iowa Wind and Rock all year long. Like, people are like, oh, who's signing up for this? Who's signing up for that? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? So I know that these races mean a lot to more than just you two. They mean a lot to a lot of people. And hopefully we'll help you guys see them grow.
Thank you. We really want to hope that we can give them the home that they need, that we can give them what they deserve.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you will. All right, you guys, take care, and we'll see you on the gravel roads.
Thanks, Dave. Good to see you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dave.
I want to thank Kelsey and Cole for coming on today, and I want to encourage you to dive onto their race websites or social media pages to find out how you can join in all the Iowa Gravel Fun, or how you can get your own welcoming gravel ride started in your community. Speaking of fun and unique gravel rides, as well as all other surfaces, the Core 4 has some great stuff planned this August, including a $10,000 prize purse for the Stone Crusher 100-mile race, courtesy of the new title sponsor, River Products Company. And it will also be honoring Chris Lillig, an Iowa City cyclist who worked at River Products and was killed by a drunk driver in 1996. For more information on Core 4 and the new title sponsor, as well as other race distances and registration, head on over to core4.bike and why not sign up today? Now, I really appreciate you tuning in each week, and I would really love it if you would rate and review this show on your favorite podcast platform. And if you want to support the show financially, I would welcome that. Just look for Bike Talk with Dave at buymeacoffee.com and drop a few coins in the cup. If you do, I would love to send you a sticker. And be sure to check out the Bike Talk with Dave channel on YouTube, where you can watch some of our award-winning films, including 1,000 Miles to Nome and Down the Kuskokwim, which are all about the Iditarod Trail Invitational, a bike, run, and ski race along the Iditarod Trail. Now, I know I said this last week, but it is still going on right now. I just saw a post from a Bike Talk with Dave veteran, Tyson Flaherty, who is on the Yukon River outside of Ruby, Alaska, a small village in the middle of the interior of Western Alaska. The only way to get there is on the Yukon River on a snowmobile, dog sled, bike, or foot. Anyway, check out the films and see about life on the Iditarod Trail. They're awesome. Now, for the rest of us, we can enjoy the longer days of spring, and remember that nothing compares with the simple pleasure of riding a bicycle.